No matter who's getting voted back into Survivor, The Evolution of Strategy Volume 2 is dropping this Friday. Get ready to hear all about Survivor Guatemala in the first of 10 consecutive chapters in The Evolution of Strategy Volume 2 coming this Friday. More details to come here on Rob is a Podcast. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's talking to you on the most important day of your Survivor fan life, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to our very special podcast tonight. I am going to be recording with the tabulator, Kurt Clark, to talk about everything that is going on as we get ready to find out the outcome of the Survivor Second Chance vote. And of course, we are going to be bringing in the tabulator. Kurt, hold on.
Election 2015, the road to Survivor Second Chances.
Kurt, we are on the road to Survivor Second Chance. And you are actually literally on the road. Where are you, in Florida?
Yeah, I am in Orlando.
That's a big swing state, Kurt. So I'm glad that you are there for coverage from Florida, covering the swing state. What are the people on the streets in Florida saying?
It's hard to tell. There's a lot of hanging Chad Crittendens down here. So
Chad from Vanuatu, he is not on the ballot.
Oh, that's right.
Chad is out. We're calling it for Chad. He is not going back.
Yes, I can with 100% certainty call that he will not be on Survivor 31.
Okay, so here we are. We're recording this on Tuesday night. We're live on Periscope. Over 300 people are watching this streaming live. We're going to have the podcast up right after I get done with this, and this will be up on Wednesday. What we're going to do here today, I have here the full results from Kurt's poll that we have been running on robiswebsite.com. robswebsite.com/exit poll. We have over 13,000 responses from the poll. Those are 13,000 ballots, not votes, correct, Kurt?
That is correct. So there's multiply that by 40, and that's how many votes were cast, half of the men, half of the women.
Okay. We have some people that we are prepared to call locks at this point. We have some people that we are prepared to say can probably unpack their suitcase tonight, but we are not taking any pleasure in that. We are trying to be absolutely clinical. We're treating this just like election coverage. You know, just because, you know, a presidential candidate doesn't win Ohio doesn't mean they're a bad person or anything like that. We're just telling you what the numbers. This is totally, we are like Adam Silver 538ing this whole thing.
Yeah, this is the Moneyball of reality TV.
Yes. Okay. Now, Kurt, of course, we've got so much to get to in this show and so many things that I've wanted to talk about, because we've been tracking this Survivor Second Chance poll for the last week and a half. Oh, it's gonna be 2 weeks tomorrow since all this whole thing got dropped in our lap. Everybody's campaigning. I talked to 26 of these people that are going back onto the show potentially, and we've been following this whole thing. And everything got shifted on its ear on Monday with a series of tweets that came from Andy Denhart. From Reality Blurred, which basically said that Andy contacted somebody at CBS and was told by his source that there were 10 million votes in this second chance. Survivor Second Chance, there were 10 million votes. And to which people said, wait, hold on, there's 10 million votes or there was 10 million ballots?
Be clear, CBS.
And Andy was told, no, confirming 10 million ballots were cast. Yes. And to this, every single person, pretty much both, you know, both publicly and privately in conversations, everybody is freaking out. Everybody is freaking out now, Kurt. It's a total freak out.
It's 31 again, if that's a thing.
It's, yes, this is the casual Mageddon, because that's what everybody's saying now. It's the casuals. Now, if those of you guys who have been sort of in the bubble where you listen to the podcast, but you haven't been on the internet too much about all this, the term casuals, which has been around for a while in the Survivor community, has really taken on this new life. Everybody's talking about the casuals. The casuals, what are the casuals going to do? And really,
it's often said with a sneer.
With a sneer, an evil sneer, like Aaron Lobdell would have. Yeah. So we have everybody's freaking out, Kurt, over 10 million ballots. Now, I know Andy Denhart. I am not calling into question any of his reporting. I 100% believe Andy did his research. Andy contacted somebody. Andy was told the information that he is reporting. He's not embellishing anything, that he is telling you exactly what he was told. But Kurt, we have not had this information come to us from CBS. That it is not a fact. So what I'm saying is that I'm sure it's a fact that Andy was told 10 million ballots have been cast, but everybody is acting as if it is a fact that 10 million ballots have been cast at this time. And again, that was yesterday. It could be 12 million by now.
Yeah. It's hard to say. This is the first time anything like this has been done, at least in the modern internet era. When I say modern internet, I guess the only thing we really have to contrast this against is, Big Brother All-Stars. When you did have the public voting, again, you Facebook wasn't around then. You didn't really have this sort of internet capacity that you do now. And to give an idea of like what does 10 million mean? Like recent episodes of Survivor have had just over like 9.5 million viewers. So not saying that this is what happened, but that would be like each of those people voting once.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not going to have 100% participation, and you're not going to have people participating just one time. So you kind of have to estimate, what does that potential breakdown look like?
Yeah. I will say that Jeff Probst today did retweet Gordon Holmes, who said the finale is going to be super long if we have to watch Jeff Probst tally 10 million votes, hashtag Survivor, one at a time. So again, I don't know, Kurt. Like we just don't know. But for me, it does seem statistically implausible that Survivor, which has 10 million viewers weekly, give or take, that there have been 10 million ballots cast, Kurt. I mean, what would that have to be? Like if we were going to say, okay, right, you know what, let's accept this 10 million ballots have been cast for this. Is it 10% of the audience? Is it 1 million people who watch the show have on average voted 10 times each?
Yeah, it very well, I don't think that that's going to be it either. I think it's going to be something in between, but a little bit closer to that. I mean, if I had, gun to my head, if you made me guess, I think we're looking at something that's a bit of kind of a statistical bell curve where you have a few of the diehard people who have voted, 11 times, 12 times now, 13, however, basically once a day.
Right.
Then you probably have, some people who have not voted at all. And then in between, you have the people who've maybe voted 6 or 7 times. So like you could get a 20% participation rate. If you had 2 million people voting 5 times each, that would get you to these numbers. And I personally don't think that is beyond the realm of possibility. And I think the thing that's confusing me is, if you say the casuals have kind of taken over, if you describe a casual fan as being in control, I can't see the casual fan
right
bothering to vote because every single day.
By definition, what is the definition of a casual fan? All of a sudden, the casual fan is being an obsessive, compulsive voting fan by the definition of casual. They are simply watching the show. If a casual starts voting for Survivor every single day, they are no longer a casual. They are now an obsessed internet fan. So
should be listening to your podcast.
Right, right. In a world where 10 million casuals vote in Survivor Second Chance, there are no casual fans.
Yeah, and if you go back to Andy's article, and again, just I've been reading Reality Blurred, I think, since its inception. And So there's a couple steps there. A, he's saying, you know, it's 10 million votes based on his source, 10 million ballots based on his source. It then says, is indicating to some people that casual fans are in control. That's kind of the only indication that we really have that there's a fear of casual. So it's, I don't know. I'm more bullish on the number than I think most people are.
You're buying 10 million ballots. You feel like that. Okay.
I am.
I'll go on the record. I'm just saying it sounds like is there a rounding error somewhere to me? Is it possible that is there, could there be a math error anywhere? I'm not saying anybody's trying to pull anything over on anybody. I'm saying that could it be, oh, you know what? Actually, no, I'm sorry that we misspoke. It was 10 million votes and 500,000 ballots.
Right. I mean, it could possibly be, but I mean, I would be surprised if there were only, and we have had 13,000 ballots cast on RHAP.
Right.
If there were 500,000 ballots cast on Survivor, I would be surprised, as much as, you know, that I, you know, eat, sweat, and breathe RHAP, I would be surprised to say that 13,000 ballots here, 500,000 ballots on CBS.com. That seems, I would expect that gap to be a lot larger.
I don't know, Kurt. Well, first off, let me just talk through a couple things before we project anything. Because everybody's talking about the 10 million thing. And, you know, I don't know if any of our poll numbers are going to shock the world tonight. So let's just talk through this, because I think this is really the top story right now. So, you know, in the general election in the United States, according to, I looked this up, that the voter turnout in 2014 was the lowest since World War II. According to Google, more than 58% of eligible voters submitted ballots in 2012, and nearly 62% did so in 2008. If voter turnout is not great in the elections, in the general elections. Okay. We have 10 million people watching Survivor. Survivor ran one 30-second commercial during a commercial break in the episode 2 weeks ago and did not mention it on the episode this week. So what percentage of 10 million people even saw that commercial? How many people just DVR'd through it?
Yeah, you know, I think
mentioned it one time, Kurt, one time. And there was no sort of hubbub about, hey, don't forget, we're going to have this huge vote. They mentioned one thing on one commercial one time.
Yes.
And somehow we're all on board with that. Secretly, there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 500,000 to a million casual Survivor fans that are being secretly uncasual in their campaigning to vote for who's on the next season of Survivor.
Let's frame it. Okay. Let's also frame it against American Idol. In 2012, 132 million people voted in the American Idol finale. That same year, 122 million people voted in the U.S. presidential election.
Right.
So I think it's fair to say that
is that in one night of American Idol or total over the season?
That was for the final.
Okay, but the only thing I will say, and fair point, and I'm enjoying this conversation, Kurt. The whole point of American Idol is you sit there on American Idol and you watch your person and you have your phone and you're ready to go. And
it's part of the season.
I gotta vote for my person to win American Idol. If you were the casual Survivor fan, Survivor blindsided you with this second chance vote in a commercial during the show. And then you're telling me that up about 10% somewhere of the audience of the show has been remembering to vote every day for 2 weeks without a constant prodding of a media candidate. There's no radio commercials. There's no TV commercials. Sure, but if people are on the Survivor Facebook page, every couple of days they've posted a reminder. And surely the people who are the candidates to go back are, you know, hitting you boom, 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 boom. But Kurt, I've got to think that if there were 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 people online talking about Survivor, I feel like I would have a nicer car. don't you feel like I'd be doing better?
I can't speak.
I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining about how I'm doing. If people love Survivor that much, don't you think I'd be doing better?
It's
you've been to my house, Kurt. It's nice. It's not that nice.
here's the thing. Again, putting it back in the perspective of American Idol. I can't remember if it's one night or two nights between the performances and the voting and the results of the voting, but it's not 2 weeks. It's, let's say, let's give it two nights. 132 people voting in two nights. We're talking about 10 million people voting over 10 nights. That's about 1 million people a night versus about, you know, 70 million people.
But you feel like you think a million people are voting every night? There's somebody that a million people care about, even Joe. How many Twitter followers does Joe have? like people love Joe. Like, there's a million people. Let's say Joe or Spencer. Like, let's say that there's a million people out there that just love Joe so much they're going to vote for him every day. A million casuals are out there. Joe has 17,000 followers on Twitter. Don't you feel like Joe would have just like this entourage of people like Forrest Gump running and just have people following him around? Even Spencer, you want to say Spencer? Oh, people love Spencer. You know, people are going to be voting every day. They want to see Spencer. Spencer has 37,000 followers on Twitter.
Okay.
I mean, and you say, oh, casuals, they don't believe in Twitter. They're so casual, they don't even have social media. But these same people that don't even go on Twitter and don't even do anything else online, they manage to, you know, write, and not for anything, the URL for the, if they didn't have a pen, Kurt, the same people where they are defined by their casualness. They're sitting there in their underwear in a t-shirt watching this show. That's how casual they are. They don't even remember to watch the show sometimes. They're casuals. Okay.
I'm not making the argument.
They're sitting there with a pen ready to go. Like, oh, what's that? CBS.com/Survivor Second Chance. Okay. Let me remember to note to self. Where's Siri? Hey Siri, note to self. Remind me to go vote for Joe every day for the next 2 weeks.
That's a great straw man argument. And I don't know what a straw man argument is, but I just wanted to throw that out.
Well, no, the straw man argument would be if I was saying, well, there are some people that are saying that,
But you're making the argument that the casual fans are the ones that would have had to make this happen. And I'm saying, no, I agree with you. The casual fans would not do that.
You're saying that you feel like the fervor of this is so intense that this is us. This isn't so much the casual fans. We did this.
Yeah, I think that these are the fans voting again. But like you said, the very definition of casual. The only person who threw out the name casual was Andy in his article.
No, it's been everywhere. Everybody's talking about the casual.
This number indicates to some people that casual fans are in control.
Yes,
that's pretty much the extent that in his article that's how it's cited. And what I'm saying is that either the more, let's use the word obsessed fans, or the more fervent fans could have gotten this up to 10 million and didn't have to be casual fans. And B, like we both said earlier, if it was the casual fans who got up to 10 million, hey, these aren't casual fans. Yeah. But I do believe that through a mix of diehard fans of the show voting multiple times on the website and casual fans voting a few times on the website, you could have gotten to 10 million votes.
Kurt, I feel like I have a good like finger on the pulse of how many like Survivor fans there are online. And I feel like that number is probably around, I'd say it's somewhere between 30,000 and 50,000 people. I think that there are in my mind, I think that those are the people, and there are certainly some more than others. There's probably, you know, there's a hundred that are, you know, that everybody knows who they are. But I think total, I think that that's sort of like, you know, the area of people that dabble in following Survivor stuff on the internet. Does that sound like a fair number?
I would have to look into it. I would guess that it was higher.
You guess it was higher.
You think 30 to 40,000? You were saying.
I'll say 30 to 50,000, and I feel like the 50,000 is probably being a little bit generous. If you want to go crazy and say, okay, well, Cochran has 150,000 Twitter followers.
That's a low threshold of involvement. I mean, in terms of, it's very. It's just like liking a post. It doesn't mean you're going to share it. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're.
I mean, all right. You want to go crazy? Let's say Jeff Probst has on Twitter. Jeff Probst has 389,000 Twitter followers.
And like I said, it's easy to follow somebody. And this is going to sound like I'm arguing the opposite point, but I think it's easy to follow somebody. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're hanging on their every word when you're on Twitter.
Right.
Especially, you have to look at how many other people are being followed and how many times people, like, they'll follow somebody and then they just won't even go on Twitter for months on end.
If you want to say that it's us, you know, if every one of Jeff Probst's Twitter followers was voting they would have to vote 25 times to get to 10 million.
I don't think that I think that you're looking at people who are following Jeff on Twitter. Those are potentially people who are a little bit more involved with the show, and they're going to be involved. They're going to be voting multiple times.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see now if I even follow Jeff Probst.
Yeah. I was all prepared to talk about how, like, if people are saying that the casuals are doing this, like, we have a Facebook group for the patrons of the podcast, people that are, you know, so that help support the podcast on a monthly basis. We have a Facebook group. There's about 550 people in there. I gave people an assignment this week, Kurt. And my assignment that I gave them was talk to somebody who is not a hardcore Survivor fan. Talk to a casual and ask them, do they know about the vote? And two, are they voting? Would they vote, and if they're voting, are they voting daily? To a person, the average Survivor fan either did not know about this, you know, and this, we probably got about 60-65 mm-hmm. responses from people about this. They either didn't know that there's a vote, and if they did know that there's a vote, they're not voting. And if they did vote, they voted once or you know, at the most two times. So I just can't believe the casual Survivor fan is out there just being as uncasual as you possibly could be and remembering to vote. Like, people don't remember to brush their teeth every day, Kurt. And God knows I've been there.
I'm losing track on which points we're agreeing on and which points we're disagreeing on.
Nothing. We agree on nothing.
I think we both agree on the fact that odds are, if there are actually 10 million ballots cast, it's not because of casual fans. The casual fans did not get you there.
Yeah.
And if these people that you're calling casual fans did vote multiple times and did get you there, hey, guess what? Not casual fans.
Yeah. By the way,
I think the fear is that there's a large group of people out there who are voting multiple times in what the otherwise majority think of as a poor manner. That's the fear.
So you feel like there is voter fraud happening? Is that how we got to 10 million? You feel like, is that what you're saying?
We haven't talked about that part of the conversation yet, but I think there's an unbased fear out there by the diehard fans that people unlike them got the votes to that level. Perhaps people saying, you know, the diehard fan voted five times and they see this 10 million votes and they're suddenly fearful that people who are unlike them are now controlling the results.
Right. Because people are going to be very mad tomorrow. If, like, let's just say Shane Powers. Here's somebody who all of the people on the internet are excited to see back. And then you dangled it in our face of, hey, you want to, like, we're bringing back Shane Powers. We're bringing back T-Bird. You asked us to, we're bringing back this person. We're bringing back this person that you're excited to see. And then none of them get on. And it will be the red wedding of Survivor, that everybody's excited about Survivor. People will go and burn down CBS on. I'm not saying that don't take my words out of context. That people will be sending angry tweets. I will tell you that right now, and there will be a deluge of angry tweets from now until the 4th of July, Kurt. If they dangled these people that people wanted to see come back and none of them, they get shut out. They get shut out because of this. The people will be furious.
I don't see it happening.
Okay.
Because that would mean that these a majority of these very active non-fans of the show are voting for conventionally unpopular people multiple times with some strange fervor.
Right. Okay.
It's yeah.
So let me see if I can summarize the Kurt doctrine is $10 million. $10 million ballots is plausible, but it's not the quote unquote casual. It is there is such fervor out there in the Survivor fan community that they are voting for the stuff that we are going to be seeing in our exit poll and Reddit exit poll. That is the stuff that's going to carry the day tomorrow night on Wednesday night.
I would say that, keep in mind, we said we had 13,000 ballots cast. I would probably say that a vast majority of those ballots were cast by people across multiple days. So you didn't have 13,000 individuals necessarily.
Right. But 13,000 times this form was filled out.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's not a perfect random sample of the overall community. This is a very specific subset of the population. And just to give you an idea,
right.
To get a 1% margin of error with a population when the group you're looking at is 100,000 people. And let's say the Survivor viewership is 10 million. I'm rounding up from 9.4, whatever. So 10 million people. If you have if there were 100,000 viewers, to get a 1% margin of error, you'd have to poll 8,700 people. To get a 1 million, if you had a 1 million population size, if you had 1 million viewers, you have to poll 9,500 people. So you went from 100,000 times 10 to 1 million, the number of people you actually have to poll to get a 1% margin of error only went up by 800 people. So if you double that, if you go up from 1 million to 10 million, you're still, we're well within the number of people we need to be talking to get a 1% margin of error in our poll. But again, it's not a perfect sample of the larger population. There's going to be some sampling bias. And I would say that, out of the top 10 people in both of our polls, I would not be surprised if there are, let's say, two people in the men's poll and two people in the women's poll that we don't see on the show tomorrow. So I think that's well within what would happen tomorrow. It'd be great if the top 10 of rap is what we end up seeing tomorrow, but I would go so far as to say that we're probably going to hit.
Okay, so you feel
8 out of 10 to 10 out of 10.
All right, Kurt Clark is projecting 8 out of 10. Is that for the men and the women?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just as a guess, 8 out of 10 to 10 out of 10.
Well, I think we have talked about two scenarios. One where you're the what do you want to call this? The Clark scenario, the tabulator scenario. What's the Kurt scenario where it's the.
The kosher by Clark scenario?
Kosher by Clark, sure. Because up until the other day, I was preparing to come on and do this show. We've been preparing for a couple of days. I was preparing to come on and do this show and say, the casual viewer of Survivor has no idea that this is going on. We have the keys to the car. Us people on the internet, we're controlling this. The casual viewer has no idea what is going on with this that they don't even know. And if they do know, they don't care enough to vote. That's why they're casuals. That's why they don't care that much about the show. They watch some weeks. It's like, oh, what's on my DVR? Oh, Survivor. You know, they like Survivor. They're not fanatical about Survivor. Fanatical enough to remember to go to cbs.com/Survivor Second Chance and then to go and log in and create an account on cbs.com and then to go through and pick 10 people. You have to pick 10 people, Kurt. You can't vote. I mean, that give somebody who has no idea what they're doing, tell them to vote for the first time. It will take them 10 minutes.
Yep.
They'll get bored and walk away. So I was preparing to come on and say that there will be no, that what we are seeing in our polls will be very close to what we see ultimately out there. The 10 million viewer or the 10 million ballot tweet. This is like Serial now. We've officially gotten into Serial mode. we've gotten there, Kurt.
See, I think it's possible. I think it's, like I said, I think it's possible to have gotten there. What I don't know and what I question and where I come at it from a Serial perspective is, who's the tabulator counterpart at CBS.com?
I don't know.
Because seriously, because I believe there were rumors going around that somebody had potentially paid for a call center or a bank of voters to stack numbers in their
face. Right.
That's what I would be more concerned about than casual viewers.
Okay, good. Because Kurt, if they did, they didn't watch effing Office Space, okay? Because they went ahead and this is like, hey, oh, we figured out a plan that we got bots going, and then it's like, okay, oh wait, our bank account has like $87,000 in it, or whatever money they had in Office Space. Like, oh my God, we blew it. Now what are we gonna do? And if you are that person that was buying votes, and you hear like, oh, there are 10 million votes cast.
Oh no, what happened?
Right. And they're like, so I feel like you've got to be busted. Like, do you think that there will be some sort of data cleanup like you do when you say, okay, well, this is obviously phony baloney?
That's what I'm saying. I would hope so. I would hope that they're kind of monitoring the number of responses they're getting on a daily basis. And if they see a sudden spike, and I can say that you and I have talked, we've looked at the daily number of ballots cast through your exit poll. And there are definite spikes, and we can tie them to points where it's kind of where either you're tweeting out or I'm tweeting out, or where it's promoted in some way, where the exit poll link is promoted in some way. There's definitely, you can see a response or a commensurate spike in the number of ballots cast. But they haven't been promoting that on CBS. And at the very least, if they have and we haven't seen it, if they've been doing it on like, CSI or something, I don't know.
We need CSI Cyber on this.
There, exactly. That's what they can turn to.
Crossover.
If they suddenly see a spike in the number of votes and they can't tie it to any actual marketing efforts that they did on their end, that's something that I hope their resident tabulator is going in and looking at. And if not, I am available for hire, okay, and I charge very unreasonable rates.
Unreasonable rates. Okay. Okay. So we're going to jump into the exit poll. Let me just do this while I can. Casuals. Who are they, Kurt? Where do they come from? And why do they care so much about Survivor if they're just a casual viewer? How do they all know what to do? Where are they coming from? And why do they care so much about something that they're so casual about? Why are they so invested in this? And what do they have to gain? Why do they want to ruin our poll? We have the numbers. We can see what you guys are saying. Will this carry the day on Wednesday night? We'll find out. Tomorrow night, in the finale of Survivor Worlds Apart and Reunion Show. Okay. Very, very tense, very dramatic.
I'm just waiting now for, like, coming to you live from Leakin Park. This is season 2 of Serial. I mean, they gotta steal from the winner of the award, right?
And just one more thing on this. If they did get 10 million plus ballots, and they come on tomorrow night and they're like, you guys, you love this. This was the biggest response we've ever had. We had 12 million ballots cast for this. There is no excuse why Survivor doesn't do every single season from here on out America picks the cast.
Oh, yeah. They've got to be looking at this.
You got something here, baby. And just for every, you know, Survivor the next season, they can't do it. But a year from now, if we're not doing this again, then I don't know. Then somebody needs to have their head examined. If 12 million ballots were cast on this on one commercial, Kurt, one commercial.
Well, here's the thing. You know that when the Twitterverse heard about the 10 million ballots, you know that caused a spike in voting. I mean, the thing about the
it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. There was like a million votes at that point, and then what?
You have all these fans who maybe, okay, I've kind of done, you know, I voted 8 times already, and then they're
making sure
that
they vote. It was an October surprise?
Yeah, I can guarantee you that there was a spike in the number of votes when the news got out that there were 10 million ballots and people started to freak, and people potentially started to freak out. The serious fans did.
All right, we're like 40 minutes into this, and so let's get into the data. I say let's start with the women because I feel like that we can draw more conclusions there with the women. Does that sound good?
Yeah, and there's been some interesting movement in the women's numbers, and for a few people since I sent them to you.
Great.
For you and Haley to discuss that.
And I have the updated numbers from Kurt, of course, that our RHAP exit poll. We have 13,345 ballots that were cast in that. We've been running that since the first night. In addition to that, I also want to include some information from other sources here. I'm actually referencing something that was posted on Reddit a day ago. This is by user Super Spike, has put together the results from some other exit polls online. Right. So we can compare and contrast our RHAP exit poll with the ones from Reddit and Sucks and Survivor Oz as well. So again, I don't know the exact number of people that were in their poll, but we can sort of see how people are trending because they're all basically in the same ballpark. You know, there's not going to be any major surprises, you know, 10 points higher, 10 points lower, but they're all, everybody has similar tracking numbers.
And just to be clear, I did filter out the 120 people who said, no, this does not indicate how I voted on CBS.
Oh, you got tabulated. Okay. All right. So what we have, the way that Kurt's numbers are working is that from the total number of ballots cast, Kurt, you have a percentage of how many times each person appeared on the ballot, correct?
Yeah. So if we say that, you know, so-and-so had a score of 80%, that means 80% of the ballots cast included that person's name.
Yes. And for me, in combination with what we're seeing from Kurt's data and what we're seeing from the Reddit stuff and all these other places, I feel like that there are some people that we can say are locks. They're definitely going. What I want to do is factor in Kurt's data with what I think I'm on record. I don't think that people who are casual voters of the show voted, you know, 9.5 million times for this thing. But I do think that there are some people who were, you know, people who are that we don't necessarily normally hear from on the internet that voted. And I think that the biggest thing that they voted on is brand recognition.
Yeah.
So I don't think necessarily it was good guy, bad guy. If they were in search, they had their favorites, they picked them. And then it's like, who else do I know here? So for me, that's my biggest factor on how whatever casual factor there is, I think it's based on brand recognition.
That makes sense.
Okay. So, you know, and I think a lot of that comes with recency. So recency / brand recognition.
Okay.
All right. So, Kurt, how should we start this?
Do we want to maybe just kind of talk about the top five in our poll and talk about whether or not we think they're locks or whether, and versus whether or not we think they may actually fall out of it based on the popular vote?
Okay. Let's just run down the list here and let's just kill the suspense and then let's drill down further.
Okay. And I'll just say the top 10 in order.
Okay.
There's like one place where I want to call it a percentage change, but otherwise I'll do the top 10 in order and then the bottom six in order.
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right, just starting with number one, their top vote getter.
Yeah. And do you want me to read the percentages as well?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Then more teasing.
They'll speak for themselves. Okay.
This is it.
Number one, 85%, Cass McQuillan.
Okay. And Cass, that she is trending well everywhere. You know, on Reddit, she is in the mid 90s in their polling. She's number one in our poll. She's at 85%. I feel like signs are pointing up for Cass.
Yeah, she's been in the lead for the entire thing, except for at the very beginning. I'll talk about that a little bit later.
Great.
Number two, with 81% of the vote, Sierra Easton.
Sierra, yeah, and Sierra is trending pretty well all across the board. We have her pretty much exactly where the Reddit polls and Survivor Oz have her at 80s, you know, low 80s percentage, you know, 81%. That's pretty much exactly what she is on Reddit. Survivor Sucks has her a little bit lower, but I feel like she is very much going to be on the next season.
Yeah, and for both of those, you get a recency bias.
Yes.
Do you think that they're a recognizable brand?
Yes. Both of them, yes, have the name recognition, especially in the case of Cass, that she has the Chaos Cast nickname. I would mm-hmm. be shocked if either of those two are not in the cast.
Agreed. Next up, with just less than 40 votes behind Sierra, also with 81%, but you get into hundreds of a percent, Teresa T. Bird Cooper.
Yeah. Now, we actually have T. Bird a bit higher. We have her at 81% in our polls. Reddit has her at 75 and 79, respectively. She is polling well, but I have her on. I have her on the bubble, Kurt. That she is somebody that I worry about just her name recognition and whether or not she's going to be there. I have her definitely in yellow on my card.
And she was at 79% when we looked at the numbers last Thursday. Interestingly, she's kind of spiked a little bit here. She went from fifth place to third place in our female rankings. I don't really know what may have driven that, but at least over the past week, she has actually been on the rise quite a bit.
Okay,
but I agree with you. I think she is on the bubble, but I would still have her packing her bags.
That she will be ready to go so that she
be
can,
ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah. That she will
say be ready to go. Don't stay home and drink.
And we'll just show up.
Yeah. Okay. So we think that T-Bird is caution, but she's definitely in the mix there for those 9 or 10 spots.
I'd tell her to be cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. I think it helps her also that she has a nickname on the CBS.com page. That she's listed as a Teresa T. Bird Cooper. I think, again, that helps with the brand recognition.
For the women.
Yes.
Yes.
For her. Okay. All right. Let's keep going, Kurt.
Okay. Number four with 79% of the vote, 79.74, is Miss Foxy Tasha, Tasha Fox.
Okay. So Tasha, we have her with about 79%. That's pretty much in line with the two Reddit polls. They have her at 82 and 74. Oz has her at 74. So we have her a little bit higher. Sucks has her exactly at 79. So we are right in line with Tasha. I think she has recency. I think that she has a little bit of some brand recognition. And so I think that she is one of my locks on the board.
Yeah. And
I'd be very surprised if she's not there.
It doesn't hurt that she was a little bit of an underdog in her season in terms of trying to, you know, battle against Tony and his crew and stay in the game. So I think also the underdog factor plays in there.
Okay. Keep going, Kurt.
14 votes behind Tasha. So also with 79% and change, Kelly Wigglesworth.
Okay. Interesting.
She's dropped. She started out, just to let you know, she started out the first few days of the poll in first place, and she has steadily been dropping. She was first place at the beginning of the poll. Last Thursday, when you spoke with Haley, she was in third place, I believe, and now she's down to fifth place.
I think her interview hurt her.
I do. At least in our polls, in our poll, I would believe that it did.
The first Reddit poll they did, she was at 85%. The second poll they did, she was at 78%. So she dropped 7 points in that poll. She ends up being at 79% here in our poll. So I do think that she is trending down. Maybe it's the lack of campaigning. Maybe it is maybe some poor interviews, but I still have her as a lock, but she is, if this was, you know, going to keep going for a few more weeks, maybe she would play herself into on the bubble.
I think if you weigh in this is going to shift at all from a casual vote due to like just, you know, small numbers, I think that there's a little bit of brand.
She has a ton of brand recognition. That's why I think she's a lock.
Yeah. So I think there's a few older school people in here. When I say older school, I just mean like not in the past five seasons.
Well, of the old school people, I think she is the one with the most of what we're talking about.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
Next up after Kelly, with just less than 100 votes behind Kelly. So her, Tasha, and Kelly is Shireen. Okay. They're all kind of clumped together.
So Shireen, she is 79% with us. She's, you know, polling better with us than she is on Reddit. She's at 74, 75. Survivor Ozzeline has her at 70%. The RHAP fans obviously like her more. She had a really fun interview. I think that she is one of the surest locks on the board.
Yeah. And especially, again, kind of the, you know, very current season, underdog vote, sympathy vote. I think that yes, I can agree. She's a lock.
Okay, keep going.
Next up behind Shireen, with 78% of the vote, and actually just 13 ballots behind Shireen is PG Law.
Okay, interestingly, this is where we have a bit of a disparity. Reddit loves PG. Reddit has PG at 92.3%.
Interesting.
And then 94, she actually went up from 92 in the second poll they did at 94%. Survivor Oz has her higher at 83%. Survivor Sucks loves her at 94%. We are only seeing PG at, you know, about 79%, which is still good, but you know, it's, she's not white hot, like, you know, she's not on fire in terms of our polling. And I feel like she is hurting in brand recognition. I have her squarely on the bubble.
I agree. If I get kind of two strikes in terms of two of these top 10 women are not going to make it, I would guess that PG is one of them.
She's one of the people I'd be most worried out of our on the bubble people. I feel like that she's one of the people I'm most worried about for tomorrow.
Agreed.
Okay. Keep going, Kurt.
Behind PG at 73.2%, Kelly Wentworth.
Kelly. Okay. Kelly Wentworth. So interestingly, so the first, Reddit poll they did, she was at 49%. Then she has a big jump up to 72%. We have her very close to that at 73%, that she's at 60%, in the Survivor Oz poll. And 21% on the Survivor Sucks poll. Again, and I don't know the sample size on some of these, but we have her at 73. The question for me, and I think she's also one of the more interesting people tomorrow. She's recent. How much brand recognition does she have? She has, and we're going to talk about that with Max also. They have recency, but do they have the household brand recognition to the person who is the quote unquote casual viewer?
I don't think she necessarily does, but I do think that luckily for her, there are more than six people who do not have brand recognition. So I think that in terms of hopefully maybe a little bit of recency will bump her to the top of the unknowns.
Yeah.
So, and hopefully kind of just her personality and her plea.
You know, another thing, and again, I'm just trying to look at this, like if I'm a person who's just trying to fill out my thing, she is the only person who has like the traditional blonde, blonde look, you know. You have Abby Maria also, but I feel like she looks not quite like the, you know, what you would imagine like, blonde bikini model. I think Kelly is the only face on the board that has that. I think that the brunettes all sort of blend together when you're looking at this at the Guess Who board of just these 16 faces. Like if we're playing Guess Who and I ask you, is your person blonde? Like I'm flipping a lot of cards down if you say no.
That's your second Guess Who reference in a week.
But I think that this is a lot like looking at this.
Yeah, I love it.
Does your person have glasses?
Yeah. And interestingly, she was in ninth place during last Thursday's poll and she went up a little bit to eighth place. So she's doing something.
She's on the bubble. I feel like she's on the higher end of the bubble people.
Agreed. At number nine with 72% of the vote, Abby Maria Gomez.
Right, Abby Maria, yeah, we have her at 72. She's polling better on Reddit. She's at 82% and 85% on Reddit. Sucks loves her. They have her at 94%. To me, I think Abby is my sixth lock of the women. I feel like she, in addition to polling well, I think she also has name recognition and is different enough and memorable enough. She went far in the game. She came in fifth. Survivor Philippines isn't that long ago. I would say that if I had to, she would be the sixth person I would feel comfortable calling one of my locks that I would be extremely surprised to not have her out there.
I'm a little less bullish on Abby Maria than you are.
Okay.
My only concern is we've kind of talked about the difference between casuals and fans. I'm also kind of considering the distinction between rap fans and non-rap fans. And I mean, I don't mean fans of the podcast, but fans who listen to the podcast versus fans that don't. And I would guess that the fans who love the show, who don't necessarily haven't experienced much Abby Maria outside of Survivor after her season, may not necessarily be pulling for her as much. So I would actually, I would actually, for my own personal viewing, put her on the bubble for the way that I've been looking at the numbers.
Yeah. We'll see. I think that people will vote for a face and a name they know, even if it was one True. That they were not particularly yeah. fond of.
Yeah.
Just that because sense. That they know that, like, okay, well, at least I know who this person is, as opposed to trying to struggle and, okay, well, let me go back and watch that video again and see, now I remember who that is. Like, I think that if a person is, even if it's jogging their memory a little bit, I think that person will get the vote over. So, and again, this is all speculative.
Exactly.
We're trying to, you know, predict stuff that we have no idea. And we don't know if the data is good. We don't know what we're ultimately trying to predict. Much like Survivor, it's a stupid, stupid game.
Yes.
But it really is like, it's dependent on luck. Who knows? You get lucky. You get it right. You look smart. You get it wrong. You're an idiot. That's what John Fincher said. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So I feel good about Abby Maria. You don't feel as good. But now here's where things start to get dicey, Kurt, right?
Yeah. Because first place with 85% with Cass. Ninth place had 72% with Abby Maria. So you've kind of got a 13 percentage point span there.
Yeah, and I'm holding up my chart right now for the people on Periscope that they can see. Like, we're right here. Abby Maria. And then we're about, Abby Maria is the last person who's in the longer things. And now we're about to fall off a cliff. We have cliff number one, and then we have cliff number two.
Yeah, we drop from 72% to about 57%. We get to Monica Padilla.
Monica. Okay. Monica, she is at, in our polls, she's at 57%. In terms of Reddit, they have her higher than we have her. They have her at 63 and 70%. She's been campaigning hard. Survivor Oz only has her at 50%. Survivor Sucks has her at 72%. So we see her right in the middle of all that at 57%. She is on the bubble, and I think that it could go either way for her.
Yeah. Especially because if we compare her to number 11, she was number 11 for the longest time. And even right now, she's less than 60 ballots away from number 11. Okay. So it's within spitting distance and she should not feel safe.
Oh, so we'll get Keith Nail on it.
Yes, exactly.
All right. And give us number 11 too, so we could talk about this.
Okay. So again, Monica was at 57.5%. Kimmy Kappenberg is at 57.1%.
Okay. So Kimmy is right there. And again, We have now 11 people for 10 spots that are all in there. Monica and Kimmy are the two people that are, you know, in the 50%. Everybody else from Abby Maria up is over 72%. Kimmy in on some of these other polls, she's trending at 56% on Reddit, 56% on Reddit, 63 on Survivor Oz, 89 on Sucks. So, you know, it's... She's on the bubble too, Kimmy.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. All right. Well, now, okay. Now we have the bottom five, Kurt, and all of these people. Now we go from 57% for Kimmy. All of these people are under 40%. We're seeing them on less than 40% of these 13,000 ballots that we collected, and I think all but one of them is drawing dead right now.
Are you talking about the third from the bottom? Is not drawing that? I am.
Okay. I think that that I'm prepared, just like we have our locks. And again, what the hell do I know? We have our locks. I think four out of these five people, I think that we can call it for them. I don't think they are going back to Survivor next season.
Do you want me to just kind of like blow through them at once?
Yeah, so let's give the percentages. Give the percentages and tell us.
Okay, so with 38.8% is Stephanie Valencia,
which I'm surprised to see her at number 12 in our polls.
Yeah, she's been campaigning a lot harder than I expected her to.
I thought she would have been lower. Yeah, for name recognition, okay. I thought that she would be lower. So I feel like that's actually not bad for her. She's at 38% in our poll. She is trending lower actually on Reddit, 34 and 36 in their polls. Survivor Oz has her higher at 43. Sucks has her at 24%. I think that she does not have the name recognition. She doesn't really have the recency. I would be very surprised to see her. I have her as out, not even on the bubble.
I agree, unfortunately. Next up behind Stephanie at number 13 with 36.4% of the vote is Natalie Tenorelli. Nat 10.
I think that she could have been somebody that you would have said has a clear shot to winning this thing if she was out there, because who was ever coming for her? But with just 31% on Reddit, the first one, 28.9% in the second Reddit poll, we've got her at 36%. I don't see it. I don't see it for Natalie.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I don't think so. Okay. Here's the one that I think is still in play.
Yeah. From 36.4 down to 36%, Carolyn Rivera.
Carolyn. Now, if there was anybody that was going to be helped by 10 million ballots and a big turnout from the casuals, you would have to think that Mama C, who had two good weeks on the show the last 2 weeks, would be helped out significantly by a big turnout from the TV watchers, Kurt. And you would think that she would say to the people watching the show,
"You couldn't let me win that for my kids, you son of a bitch."
Yeah, those enough sons of those bitches could potentially have turned out for Carolyn. I have her on the bubble, despite her only getting 36% of the RHAP poll.
I'm the same way. I'm thinking that we have to kind of bump that up potentially. But you know, how terrible may not be the right word, but how unfortunate would it be if she did not make it? I mean, she'd be, I think, forever wondering if, you know, is it, how much of it's due to the fact that she wasn't allowed to do interviews? And
well, this is going to be the thing that's going to tell us, you know. Yeah. I think that if Carolyn makes it, it was because of, and there's a couple people that we're going to have this with. If Carolyn is on the show, that means that the casual TV viewing audience put her there. If she is not on the show, it's because that they were not a factor. It was the internet people. Here, that Carolyn, she was polling at 34% on Reddit, and she dropped 10 points, basically, to 24.9%. Survivor Sucks has her at 26. Survivor Oz has her at 36%.
Yeah.
Which is right where we have her also.
Like when I see like potentially Teresa or PG or Monica not being in the top 10, I think if you're looking, well, who takes her spot, then I think Carolyn's got to. If we lose two of those 10 people, Carolyn has to be one of the people that makes up there. You have to imagine.
I have six people on the bubble for the women. Four of them will make it. Two of them won't. Carolyn, if you put a gun to my head, I think she's there.
Yeah.
But let's have her as a bubble, and then let's talk through the six bubble people. Okay. All right. Next up, Kurt.
34.4%. At 15th place, we have Sabrina Thompson.
Sabrina. They're just 34% of the ballots that we're seeing. Reddit had her at 42%. She actually dropped also to 34%. Survivor Oz has her at 43%. Survivor Sucks has her at 54%, which is the bombiest of those numbers. Mm-hmm. We have her at 34%. I'm not seeing it, Kurt.
If she had campaigned, if she had come on to, well, when I say campaign, if she had come on to interview with you, then I would have felt like she'd wanted it. I mean, she's the,
you know, and I don't know what's going on with her. I heard from people that she had family emergencies going on this week, which is terrible timing on all this, but the campaign just wasn't there for her.
And she's the only woman other than Carolyn who you did not speak with. Is that correct?
She is the, because the other people, yes, that's right. I didn't talk to Brad. I didn't talk to Joe. I didn't talk to Wu.
Right.
So yeah, of the women, she's the only of these 16 women I spoke to, 14 of them.
And before I saw these numbers, like before we even kind of kicked off the poll and I saw the names floating around, I thought for sure she'd be a lock to be in there. But these results say otherwise.
Yeah. She's again in that no man's land of she's not recent. She's not, there's no nostalgia for Survivor One World. And she's just, caught in between. And I would be shocked if she's one of the people that's out there tomorrow night.
Yeah.
All right. And bringing up the rear, Kurt.
28.6%, Michaela Wingle.
Yeah. Michaela is probably the longest, the long shots on the women's side. That is basically, her and Sabrina, I talked about this, Kurt, but it really was true where when we talked about the people who were there, we had recency and then we had nostalgia. And I said, the people who were like 21 through 26, that was no man's land. Look at this bottom five that we have outside of Carolyn. You have Valencia season 22, Nat 10 season 22, Sabrina season 24, Michaela season 23. That was just the dead zone. That's you're driving on your cell phone. You hit Survivor Nicaragua and you got no bars and you don't pick them up again until Blood versus Water.
And you're 4G.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4G. Yeah, no, you got 4G LTE by the time you hit the Blood versus Water, Kurt.
There you go. And I can't remember who you were speaking with or the guest did, but I mean, the unfortunate thing for this, and I think for the men's team is, as Survivor evaluates doing this again down the road or who they're going to invite back, there's numbers here that they're going to have in front of them that they can pull out and say, hey, guess what? The public voted and they don't want to see you. And I think that's going to be the part that stings the most for the people who don't get on.
Okay. Michaela, just to update her Reddit numbers, that she was 20% in the first Reddit poll. She actually dropped to 14%. She was the lowest person on the board in their polling also.
Yeah.
5.9% from Sucks. So for Michaela, it just isn't happening.
Right. And the unfortunate thing again is also, I think I've listened to each of the interviews all the way up through Sierra and including Sierra. And like, as you hear everybody talk about wanting to be out there, it's like, I can just like Shireen said with Jeff and CBS's decision is we have to pick a pool of 32 people who we would be happy with any combination that goes out there. And yes, I have my favorites, but I could see me enjoying, especially after having listened to your interviews, enjoying seeing how any of these people.
We're
play.
Fine. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. It'll be now, Kurt. So by our calculations, we have six people on the bubble. T-Bird, PG, Kelly, Monica, Kimmy, and Carolyn. How do you see this shape shaking out?
Because we then have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many people do we have in? I would say that we're going to see T-Bird in.
Yeah,
I would. And you had Abby Marie on the bubble. You said also.
I'm pushing Abby Marie in.
You're pushing her in.
Well, crazier things have happened. I think she's got it.
I think T-Bird is in.
Okay.
I don't
disagree.
I think that Kelly is in.
Okay. Wentworth. I don't disagree.
I think that we might see Carolyn in for PG.
You say Carolyn. So I agree with you on all those three. I need what you say. PG of Monica, Kimmy, and PG.
I was saying that out of I didn't say anything about Monica.
Okay. Those are the three left. PG. Yeah. So I think we're in agreement on T-Bird, yeah, Kelly, and Carolyn will get the call. So yeah, it's Monica, it's Kelly, and it's PG.
Oh, I forgot about, you're saying Wigglesworth?
Kelly Wigglesworth, I have her as a lock. She's already
okay. No, I have Kelly Wentworth as a lock too.
Okay, you have Kelly Wentworth as a lock.
Yes.
I don't have her as a lock, but I have her as one of the bubble people that I'm going to push in.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. It's late here. I'm agreeing with that yes, vocabulary.
Sorry.
I'm understanding.
Kurt and I were planning on doing a half hour show on this. We're an hour and 12 minutes. We didn't get to the men yet.
Best laid plan.
Typical RHAP. Yeah. All right. So PG, Monica, Kimmy, pick one. Who do you think gets this?
I, against my better judgment and against the numbers, I'm going to say Kimmy.
Kimmy. Kurt, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. I think that the trend that we're projecting, you're either new or you're old. You're something old, you're something new. Something borrowed and something from the middle seasons is not getting through.
Yeah, it's, and again, this is definitely personal bias. Out of those three, I only remember Kimmy. I don't remember PG. I don't remember Monica. And I've seen every episode, every season.
I mean, once. Kimmy has an iconic moment, mm-hmm, that may be one of the top three Survivor fights of all time. PG or Monica doesn't have that brand recognition moment. So look, if you're rooting for PG, you hope that the Kurt theory is right, that this is, you know, a big showing from the people that are on the internet. That's what got us to 10 million. It's the internet fervor voting over and over again. If that's the case, I think PG is the one that gets in.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I think it's going to be, I'm thinking it's going to be our numbers, you know, mixed with a push from the casual audience that we don't necessarily hear from. The Survivor Facebook people, I think that they're a factor in this. I just don't think that there are hundreds of thousands of those people that are going to dominate this. I think it's going to be our numbers plus a little bit of a push in certain directions on people in due to recency and due to brand recognition.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yes. All right. We'll see. So here's the cast that we're projecting. And again, the PG and Monica would be the two that we wouldn't be shocked if they're in there. And then with T-Bird, Kelly Wentworth, Kimmy Kappenberg, Carolyn, we wouldn't be shocked if they're not in there. But Kurt, right, as of right now, you're confirming this list. Can I give out the projected cast of Survivor Second Chance Women?
I'll co-sign it.
Okay. Cass, Sierra, T-Bird, Tasha, Kelly Wigglesworth, Shireen, Kelly Wentworth, Abby Maria, Kimmy, and Carolyn.
There we go.
All right. And that's our projection based on the numbers we're seeing and combining in some other factors. Look, if there's 10 million ballots, throw everything out the window. We don't know anything, but based on what we have, that's what we're projecting.
Yes.
All right. And all right, we'll see. And I think that, and what we do feel confident, Stephanie, Natalie, Sabrina, and Michaela, would be how shocked surprises would you be? It would be extremely surprising for one of them to get through.
Yes.
Who would be the one person that if they got through, that you could see it the most of those four?
Natalie.
I think I might say Sabrina, because she went to the end and she looks different enough than, you know, some of these brunettes are all kind of just blurring together on the Guess Who board. So it's like, which one was Natalie? Which one is Michaela? Which one is that? Maybe you remember Sabrina more. Okay. Kurt, yeah. let's talk about the men. And maybe we could pick up the pace a little bit because I have a lot of podcasting to do tomorrow and I'm running out of steam. All right.
Okay, let's jump right in with
this. This was surprising to me. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but who's number one in polling?
No idea why I'm surprised. It's Stephen Fishback with 97%.
Stephen Fishback. I mean, Stephen's polling great all over the internet. I mean, we have him at 97%. I mean, that I'm surprised he's even polling that high with us, but I guess we, you know, for him to be number one, I mean, but he's polling great on Reddit. He's at 93% on Reddit. He's at 95% in the most recent Reddit. Survivor Oz has him in the high 80s. Survivor Sucks has him in the high 80s. I mean, Steven's poll numbers are great. For Steven, if it's 10 million ballots and it's the casual strike back, Steven is somebody that I have moved from a lock to on the bubble, but looking good.
I think, oh boy. If you follow your nostalgia versus recency get priority rule, then I can see that, but I have him on the bubble of nostalgia. So I see him as a lock.
Okay. I had him as a lock. And then I can't wrap my head around that number, but if you were going to make a case for how to Steven not get on the show, it's that millions of casual fans voted and they don't remember him because he was on too long ago, but he wasn't on when the show was a mega hit and there's nostalgia for Stephen Fishback.
Okay.
If we carry the day, he's on and he's a lock and forget about it.
Fair enough.
I have him as, look, when we project this, he's going to be in our cast. I'm just telling you that's the worst case scenario for Stephen. We have him at 97% in our poll numbers. You know, if Steven doesn't get on, all of our polling was a total waste of time. And we won't do it next time because they told us nothing if Steven doesn't get on. But I'm just telling you that there's a possibility. Whereas I say with some of these other people, like Cass is a lock. I can't see a scenario where Cass didn't get on. I'm telling you, I could imagine the worst case scenario where Steven doesn't.
I wouldn't say that it tells us nothing. I would say what it does is it tells us that the rap community of voters differs an extremely large way in some instances from the public. So
I don't know, Kurt, because I feel that I feel like there are times when you know, we have demonstrated the power of the Survivor fan community against other seemingly insurmountable odds. I just can't imagine that the Survivor super fan community could get beat at our own game by the Survivor casual watching community.
But I think, is that season too much on the nose? Survivor casuals versus super fans?
Yeah. Survivor casuals versus super fans. Yes. So, like, how is that possible? How could you know, tens of thousands of intense, crazy people get beat by lackadaisical, casual people in the hundreds of thousands? It goes against everything I've ever learned about the internet.
Are we going back to the beginning of the podcast, or do you want to move forward?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that I can't, like, that would change the way I think about the internet if that happened.
Oh no. That's like boundaries of reality or shifting sorts of information.
Yes. I would have to call Seth Godin tomorrow if this is what happened. Okay. Number two.
Number two with 91% of the vote, Spencer Bledsoe.
All right. Spencer Bledsoe. You know, no surprise. I'm actually a little surprised that we only have him at 91%. I mean, Spencer is actually doing better on Reddit. He started off at 96 and he dropped to 92. So I guess that's about where we have him. Did you notice a drop for Spencer?
Let me quickly go to the percentages. He's been at number two the entire time in our pool. Steven's been at number one, and even like a week ago, he was at 91.8. Now he's at 91.3. So
right.
Not really any noticeable drop.
Yeah, going back to Steven, though, if Steven doesn't get on, it wasn't our fault. We did our part, right?
Right.
We did our part. Okay. Spencer's a lock, though. Okay, let's talk about number three on this list.
Number three with 85%, Shane Powers.
Okay. We have been at 85%. Reddit has them at 90, then at 92 in the second poll. Survivor Oz has them at 89. Sucks has them at 95. Shane is, his poll numbers are great. I have him on the bubble.
Is it because of the 10 million again, Rob?
It is. If we control what happens here, based on our exit polling, he's not only on, he's a lock. But if we're being real, even though I'm saying that I don't know exactly what we can believe about the 10 million number, I think that there is something there. I just can't believe that it is that big out there. It's like, we know we're in this spaceship. We know there's some life out there. We don't know how much, though. We're just sort of like, we're guessing. And if there's 10 million casual ballots that were cast, or 9.5 million casual ballots that got cast, Shane is in trouble. And while he does have some brand recognition, he does have some memorable moments, and he was a huge character. He was a huge character 9 years ago.
I don't. There gets to a point.
And he doesn't look like he did when he was on the show in his picture.
And that's true. That's actually, I think, the bigger issue.
And if you don't remember the name Shane Powers, and I wonder if they should have put the picture of them from their original season.
I think the way that you're kind of breaking this down and analyzing it, I think as we move forward down to the rest of this list, I think that I'm projecting that you're going to project a lot more shifts in terms of bottom to top and top to bottom in terms of where people are going
right.
to potentially fall out with the meta.
I'll tell you this. Ultimately, I think he gets through. I think right. he gets through, but I'm just telling you that it's not a lock at this hour, in my opinion. Because I don't think there's many locks on the men's side.
Okay.
I think there were probably more locks on the women's side.
I'm really hoping that the results come out tomorrow and that you once again have faith in my poll.
Okay, good. I hope that's right too. I would be very happy with the results of your poll. But again, we have to take a look. This is 538, Kurt.
Yes.
We're factoring in all the data, exit polls from all across the internet, plus what we think could be happening on the streets. The people on the streets that Jeff Probst talks to.
Yes.
The people on the Survivor Facebook page. Have you ever been on the Survivor Facebook page, Kurt?
I try not to.
Okay. Oh, I have. Right. I have. I've been there. Okay. All right. Let's go next.
Number four with 82.9% of the vote, Jeff Varner.
Yeah. He's at 81 at Reddit, first poll, 86 in the second poll, 84 at Oz, 91 at Sucks, similar to what we're seeing.
He went from fifth to fourth in our poll over the last week.
Jeff Varner, he has the nostalgia.
Yes.
And his poll numbers are good. I think that, again, he's on the bubble. I think he's probably there, but I can't call him a lock based on what we're seeing.
So now nostalgia doesn't get you a lock either.
It doesn't get you. It doesn't get you a lock. Nostalgia. Okay. I haven't put anybody through on a lock on nostalgia. If you have recency and the polls, you're a lock.
I think Kelly Wigglesworth.
Kelly Wigglesworth was on the first Survivor and went all the way to the end and was a household name. You know, okay. Jeff doesn't. You know, Jeff never had the name recognition of Kelly Wigglesworth. And he also doesn't look like what he looked like on the show in his picture.
Yeah, not much.
Okay. All right. Vetus.
60 votes behind Jeff is Vetus.
Okay.
And I would call this a lock.
I call Vetus a lock as well.
Okay.
Vetus is definitely out there. He's at 82% in our poll. He's at 82. He actually dropped a little bit more in the second Reddit poll, 77%. 71 on Survivor Oz. Only 50% on Sucks. I think that he has recency and he has good enough poll numbers. I think that Vitas is our second lock on the board.
Poll is strong with this one.
Yeah. Vitas, you should totally come to Survivor Second Chance.
Vitas, you should totally come to yoga.
Okay.
At number six, behind Vitas with 75% of the vote, Jeremy Collins.
Jeremy. So we have him at 75%. We actually have the strongest, some of the strongest poll numbers for Jeremy. He's at only 64% and then 53% in the second Reddit poll. Survivor Oz has him at 65%. Sucks has him at 81%. I think that Jeremy is also a lock.
Yeah. And if we're seeing stronger numbers with our poll, that might just be some Mr. Survivor campaigning bias too.
Right.
In terms of familiarity.
I mean, he is, when you look at the castaways on that page, that he is the first person on the left. He is the only African-American in this group. He is recent. He has strong poll numbers. I have Jeremy as a lock.
Yes.
Okay.
Agreed.
All right. Let's keep going.
Just behind Jeremy at number seven. With 74% of the vote, Terry Dietz.
Okay, Terry, 74% of the vote is good. It's not amazing. It's not amazing. He's certainly on the bubble. Reddit has him lower at 64% and 67%. Survivor Oz has him higher than us at 82%. Sucks has him at 57%. You know, all in that ballpark. He's on the bubble, and Shane gets on ahead of him.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, he's on the bubble,
and he's behind Shane.
I can't see Terry getting on and not Shane getting on, but they're both.
Although, you know, Terry did go on that amazing run, and we just that if there are enough people that are, you know, watching the show and the Rupert fans and stuff like that, will they reward Terry before Shane?
I don't know.
We don't know. That we don't know. I think that Shane is most likely ahead of Terry based on the support we're seeing online, but we just don't know. All right, let's keep going through this, and then we'll talk about our bubble people.
At number eight, with 70.6%, we have Joe Angle.
Okay, Joe, he's not polling great, but he's a lock. Joe is at 79%, 76% on Reddit. We have him above 70. Survivor Oz has him at 64. Sucks has him at 82%, which I find surprising. Joe's a lock. He's out there.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. The fourth lock on our board. Okay.
Number nine with 64.7%, Jim Rice.
Okay. Jim Rice. So kudos to him. We have Jim Rice higher than anybody else has him. There you go.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Jim Rice was polling at 43% at Reddit. He actually got his number up to 52% in the second Reddit poll. So Ivor Oz has him at 57. Sucks has him at 29%. We have him at 64. He is on the bubble. And I would say that he is low on the bubble. We'll talk about the bubble people.
Yeah.
I have him on the bubble, but on the bubble. Be more surprised if he got it than if he didn't get it.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, let's keep going, and then we'll make some conclusions soon.
Perhaps most surprising for me in the entire poll at number 10, originally at number 9, but Jim surpassed him after Jim's interview.
Whoa! Look at you, Jim.
62%, Mike Holloway.
Yeah, Mike at 62% again, and the season 30 people have not polled amazing. You know, even Shireen, who you would think would be like very close to the top, she was only at 6 in the women's poll. Joe is down here at what, 9?
Joe's at 8. Joe's at 8.
Yeah, Carolyn is at 14. So the season 30 people have not polled well according to our numbers. Here's Mike. Now, do people feel like Mike is going to win and that's why they're not voting for him? I personally think that he has the best shot to walk away as the winner on Wednesday night. I think when all is said and done, we're not going to be talking about Mike going on season 30.
And we're going to see a pool of 15
31.
Men. And somebody's going to be very happy that he ends up winning.
And that's
there's 15 men who are hoping that Mike wins.
Yeah. So Mike is a lock if he doesn't win. But We don't know. I think that we'll do two scenarios. One if Mike wins. One if Mike doesn't win. Though going back to the women thing, if Carolyn wins, that opens the door for somebody. Either PG or Monica, according to our numbers, is going to Survivor if Carolyn wins. So they've got a lot riding on Carolyn tomorrow night.
And I'd be happy with either of those decisions.
Okay. All right. After Mike, now again, we talked about with the women where there was a drop off. We have one more person before our drop off on the men.
Yeah. Here with just under 62% of the vote and like about 50 ballots behind Mike is Andrew Savage.
Okay. Savage, he started at 62% on Reddit, got up to 71 on Reddit. Survivor Oz has about 78%. That's the highest number for for Andrew Savage. Sucks has him at 67%. We have him at 61. Definitely bubble territory.
Yeah, he's 40 ballots behind Mike. Last week when you spoke with Haley, he was 400 ballots behind Mike. So he is caught up, at least, and again, you know, if rap ruled the universe, Andrew Savage has been, you know, very quickly closing the gap. And I think some of that might have to do with his interview with you.
Okay, good. Well, good job for Andrew. Okay, now we have the drop.
A drop.
So there was Andrew. And then,
just about 62%.
And then we're going to drop off here as we start our bottom five. Okay.
Yeah, everything here is below 40%.
So below 40%. Okay, here we go.
Drops from 62 to 11th place. Or sorry, 12th place is 39.5%. Max Dawson.
Okay. Max Dawson is interesting because you would think that the road to get on the show for Max was to kill it with the online vote. He is not killing it with our polling. He's at 39% in our vote. Reddit had him at 38. He actually got his number up to 51 on Reddit. Survivor Oz has him even much lower than we have him at 27%. Sucks has him at 29%. The question for Max Dawson is, how much will recency carry the day for Max Dawson?
I think recency can carry the day if you're on the jury. I think because he was a pre-jury boot, I don't think recency is going to help him a whole lot.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, I've met Max, you know, perfectly nice in person. I think he had a great interview with you. I don't think that he necessarily, you know, despite what he said, I don't think he was edited that great on the show.
He didn't have an amazing edit. And if you're voting for him, I think it's because you remember him. You remember the beard. And yeah, you're looking for people like, I need more people. Who else there? I'm like, oh, beard guy. Okay. Sure. But I don't know. He's definitely on the bubble. We'll keep going. Kurt, who's next?
At number 13, with 37% of the vote, Keith Nail.
I'm actually surprised that we aren't seeing better numbers for Keith. Reddit has him at 52 and then 59. Survivor Oz has him at 48. Sucks has him at 66. We have the lowest numbers out of anybody for Keith Nail. I thought he had a really fun interview with me. I've been seeing a lot of support for him. He's been campaigning hard. He has the recency, though.
Yeah, I think that he's, for me, he is on the bubble. I would actually, like, we had Caroline on the bubble, even though she was in the bottom six. I would personally have Keith on the bubble in my list.
See, I would have Keith on the bubble, but I think I would have him at the top of the bubble.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I think I'd have him there with like Steven, maybe even ahead of Steven.
Because I wouldn't have him at, I will concede to having Steven on the bubble, and not that we need to agree on this, but I think having Steven on the bubble and having Keith ahead of him in the bubble, I'm not necessarily, you know, going to be buying that. But
Keith was on TV in December. Steven was on TV in 2009.
Both true facts, Rob. But I am not buying that that's going to get Keith out of Steven.
Okay.
They're both for now, but I think we all agree that they're both on the ball.
Yeah. Look, I know I see what my numbers say, but I can see I would be hard pressed to imagine the scenario where Keith didn't get on.
If we agree that the 10 million numbers did not get reached via casual fans suddenly going crazy and voting uncontrollably, but rather through super fans of the game, Keith did not necessarily play, is not viewed as having played a great strategic game, whereas Steven has. So I think that's why I'm more bullish on Steven than Keith. But I also do agree that I think I would have, you know, Keith not merely on the bubble.
I'm bullish on both guys. I'm bullish on both guys. I think they're both at the top of my on the bubble, but I think they're going. All right.
Okay.
Let's keep going.
Number 14 with 31.9% of the vote, Troy Zan.
Boy, Troy Zan is part of that no man's land. Part of that, he's got no bars out there in Survivor One World. He's wished it was Survivor One Bar, and he had some reception out there. But he's at 35% of the Reddit poll. He actually dropped to 26.9. For some reason, Survivor Oz has him at 56%. Big disparity there between Survivor Oz and Survivor Sucks has him at 23%. I know he really wants to go. He's been campaigning hard. He's been pushing hard. Is he somebody that benefits from a casual bump?
I think so. I think, like you were saying, that you could see potentially
if anybody has the Sabrina, name recognition.
Sabrina surprising us all and getting a casual bump in. I think you'd said that about the women. That if there is a casual bias, you might see something happen with Sabrina. I think that the same thing might happen with Troy Zan.
He's one of the people that if that 10 million ballots number is right, I think he's one of the big beneficiaries of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're Troy Zan,
if it's right and it's due to casual fans.
Yes. If you're Troy Zan, you're hoping to God that there were people that had never even gone on the internet before that were saying, let me get some internet service at my house so I could vote on this Survivor Second Chance.
Yeah.
Because exactly. The internet has not shown the love for Troy Zan outside of Survivor Oz. But does the Survivor fan who remembers This Is My Island, who is looking for people and is like, oh, I remember Troy Zan. Who could forget a name like Troy Zan? He looks interesting.
Yeah.
He has the brand recognition. You don't forget. Like, who was Troy Zan again? You remember exactly who he was, which you can't say for everybody on this list.
True.
So I'm he's on the bubble. His poll numbers are bad, but you could paint that picture where he gets in.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and give us our last two.
Number 15 with 26% of the vote, Wu. And
this is the one that scares me, Kurt. This is the one that scares me. That 35.4 on Reddit, he dropped 6 percentage points. He's at 30% on Oz. Survivor Sucks actually has him at 64%, which I don't really get that either. We have him at 25% of the ballots. And again, if there was anybody else that heard the news about, boy, 10 million ballots, that's great news. It has to be Wu. Biggest beneficiary of that on the board.
Yeah, but again, if, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, I'm not buying that the 10,000 ballots is reached by casual viewers, because then they wouldn't be casual. But what he does have going for him, recency and likable.
Yeah. The men's side is a grease fire, Kurt. The women, I feel pretty good. Like, I would say, I think you're right. I think we probably got 8 out of 10, right? If not more on the women's side. The men's side, nothing would surprise me.
I'm definitely a little bit more cautiously optimistic about my thoughts on who we're going to see from the men. Okay. If I was, you know, playing Family Feud and had to count down the top answers on the board, I'd want to choose the women's category rather than the men.
I've come around on Keith Nail. I haven't come around on that Wu is going to make it over some of these people.
Yeah.
If that happens, he's at 25% in our polls.
And then finally on the list,
he's a nice guy. Wu. He's a nice guy, but I don't think he belongs out there.
Yes. And you ready for number 16?
Yes.
Brad Culpepper with 17% of the vote.
Brad Culpepper has polled worse than any other person on the board. He is 10 points lower than Michaela.
Yes.
That nobody wants Brad Culpepper back on the show. Brad Culpepper is on 16% of the ballots that Reddit was seeing first. He dropped 5 points to 11.2%. He had 24% in the Survivor Oz poll. He has the 40% in the Survivor Sucks poll. Does he have name recognition, though? Does it, just for FU Brad Culpepper, does Brad have something? If you were going to paint the scenario where the 10 million ballots is real, would Brad get on?
If the 10 million ballots is real scenario is evidence of irresponsible ballot stuffing, then yes.
But let's not get into irresponsible ballot stuffing because we don't have any. We can't go anywhere with that. But if it's just the people that watch the show turning out in mass, does Brad Culpepper have a shot to get on that way?
I don't think so. I think that there's the argument we're making for people who, you know, to potentially quote unquote wind up on the show.
Right.
We can only repeat that so many times. I think with every additional person that's kind of on the bubble or not likely that we kind of spin that story for,
right,
it becomes, I think, increasingly more and more unlikely that you end up having that happen for the next consecutive person. And I think he's the least likely. I would expect.
Let me just paint this in the nuclear scenario. Okay. The 10 million ballots is real. And it's the most, the casualest of casual fans. Again, I don't, in my heart of hearts, I can't believe this, but I can't put my head in the sand and say it's not the case. In this nightmare scenario, that they push in Brad, Wu, Troyzan, and Keith, and maybe Max, maybe all bottom five here. And again, I'm not saying that it's a nightmare scenario because these guys are on, but the five people that are being pushed out at that point, you're not getting some combination of, or out of Steven, Shane, Jeff, Terry, Jim, Savage, you get one.
Yeah, I don't think you get one. I get one?
You would get one.
Here's the thing, Rob.
And that's what is terrifying people with 10 million ballots.
Again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but if we reached the 10,000 mark because of casual fans,
10 million
by definition. Sorry, thank you. If we reached the 10 million mark because of casual fans, by definition, each of those casual fans voted once, maybe twice, because they're casual fans. And so for the likelihood of those, say, you know, 5 million casual fans voting versus the 100,000 super fans each voting five times, or however the math ends up working out. But if you have like the, you know, 5 million casual fans voting once each, then the odds of them all voting for Brad
Culpepper. Yeah, 5 million casual fans voted once each.
Their ballots are going to greatly differ.
Every other person that watched the show voted once?
No, I'm saying if you're painting a nightmare scenario of casual fans, if they vote more than that, they're not casual fans. The casual fan isn't going to...
Well, that's what I said at the start of the show.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is that you can't... If we get to the 10 million because of casual fans... And if that's the fear, it's because 3 million, 4 million, 5 million of them voted. But because they're casual fans, they each voted once or twice. So they're not going to all be voting the same. Their votes are going to be scattershot, and you're going to see all of the names represented. And it's still going to be the super fans who are calling the day.
Numbers loophole.
Is there a numbers loophole, Kurt?
There's always a numbers loophole.
What are the chances that all of these casual fans voted?
The chance of that happening, a 0.0000% chance.
I'm fine with conjecturing that they voted once, maybe twice. But voting once, maybe twice as a, just a, as your own solitary idea. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
All right. So we have let's play that Mike wins first. Okay.
Okay.
So we have our four locks are Spencer, Vetus, Jeremy, Joe. All right. We got to punch in six out of a potential 11. So five are not making it. Six are. All right, Steven, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Shane, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, because we don't want to imagine the alternative. Barner, yes or no?
Yes.
Terry?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Jim Rice?
No.
Okay.
And I didn't want to say, as, you know, as a fellow Michigan State Spartan, I'm pushing for Jim Rice to get in, but I'm very tempted to say not only is he not on the bubble, that he's not even. I'm tempted to say he's not on the bubble, but he's on the wrong side of the bubble.
Okay.
I don't see it happening, unfortunately.
All right, Andrew Savage.
How many spots do we have left?
We have three left.
With three left, I'm going to say yes.
Okay, that's a yes for Kurt. I am still on the bubble. Max Dawson.
No.
It's no. Okay. Keith Nail.
Yes.
I think so too. Troy Zan.
Yes.
You tell so. Wow.
Over. Yeah. More than Wu. Yes.
So, okay. And Wu.
No.
See, I have Wu as my guy that's going to get in over Troy Zan.
And you know, where you have Savage?
I don't know that for me, I feel like if it's, I feel like Keith and Wu are going to get a big push from people who watch the show. And I feel like Troyzan could be that third guy.
Okay.
For me, I think it's between Troyzan and Terry for those. If those numbers are even somewhat right. Yeah. I don't know. But if they're not, I think that Jim Rice, if that first scenario you painted of that the internet vote is like, I'm surprised that you're as bearish on Jim Rice.
Because he was on the bubble to begin with. He was again, and maybe that was more I'm just. With all of the other names amongst the super fans, if the super fans have some weight, I think that we're going to be more likely than not to see. I would have Terry over Jim. I would have
the men's side is so hard to figure. Really is. Is there anybody on the women's side? We had four people that we said we're ready to call it. Is there anybody that we're going to call it for? Brad Culpepper?
Oh, in terms of not going?
Yeah.
Like you can, yeah.
But the thing is,
yes.
There's so many wild cards in this that if Brad Culpepper made it onto the cast, I wouldn't be, like, I would not be, if you told me, who would you be more surprised? Brad Culpepper, Stephanie Valencia, Natalie Tenorelli, Sabrina, or Michaela? I feel like the person I would be the least surprised that made it would be Brad Culpepper.
Even though he scored, he was on less fewer ballots than Michaela.
Yes.
Honestly, I'm ready to call it for Brad and Max.
Max too. See, I wouldn't call it for Max either. Mm. The men's side is crazy, and that's if Mike wins. If Mike doesn't win. This is a mess.
If Mike doesn't win, I see our top 10 staying. Here's the thing. If Mike wins, our top 10 is going to look like the top 10 in the poll, except I think that Jim Rice will be out and Andrew Savage will be in. You might see Terry Dietz out and Keith in.
I think that Keith, I still feel very good about Keith.
Actually, I'd have that back. Sorry. Yeah, I agree. I would see potentially Keith in, and I would say Keith is in and Jim is out. I would say you might see Terry in and you might see Terry out. You might see Andrew in. Otherwise, I'm sticking to my original thing saying at most out of our top 10 in the Rap Exit poll, we're going to see two names in our top 10. that aren't going to be going to the island at most.
Okay. And, you know, Jim Rice is watching some Periscope. He's getting really pissed off at you, Kurt.
I don't doubt that. I'm a big Rice supporter, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, you're just you're pulling a JT, just dumping out the rice right now.
Oh, God.
Yes. Okay, it's terrible. All right. So, Kurt, all right, because then people are just going to take the headlines at the end of this and say, this is what we said. Okay, so let's just try to get an agreement. Let's try. We did it on the women. That's why we started with them. We should have started with the men. We would have had more energy to figure this out. Okay. So the locks here, the people that are definitely going are Vetus, Spencer, Jeremy, and Joe. And then we are going to say yes, but they're on the bubble to Steven. Cautiously optimistic to Shane.
Yep.
To Varner.
Yep.
I have Keith also in that, in the cautiously optimistic.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. And then we have the people who are, we have to pick two that are going to get through. If it's Mike, if Mike wins, he's one of them.
Yes.
If he doesn't, who are the other two?
So if Mike wins, then the 10th person, maybe this is the way we do it. The tenth person who goes out there with Mike, and then the person who replaces Mike if he doesn't go.
Okay, is so, who? You say it's Terry Dietz?
Yes.
Okay. If Mike doesn't win, who is the new 10th person? And here are the options. You say it's Troy. You say it's Troy Zan. I think it's Wu.
Okay.
But I'm not going to be shocked if it's Max Dawson. I'm not going to be shocked if it's that. If Brad Culpepper comes out of nowhere, I'm not going to be shocked.
I'm looking at the 17%, and I would be shocked.
I know, but we just don't know. Okay, so here's our cast. Steven, Spencer, Shane, Jeff, Vetus, Jeremy, Joe, Keith, Mike, if he doesn't win. Terry Dietz, and if Mike wins, you say Troy Zan and I say Wu. If we had to reconcile on this,
I will give up Troy Zan for Wu.
Okay.
If we need to come to it. I will not fall on my sword for Troy Zan.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't want you to fall on your sword for anybody. But yeah. Again, with the men's side, I wouldn't be surprised by anything. Because if this happened, because here's the difference between the men's poll and the women's poll. The women that are all trending at the bottom are the people in that no man's land or no woman's land, except for Carolyn. The people on the men's poll that are at the bottom, you have somebody that's on the current season, somebody that was on the last season, somebody who was in the no man's land but was super memorable, somebody from two seasons ago, and somebody from three seasons ago that was memorable, but an early boot.
Yeah, and see, this is why I'm so excited for Wednesday, is that for me, regardless of, I don't see a tabulator win or loss based on whether or not our exit poll is correct. I'm most looking forward to seeing what the differences are between the actual results in our exit poll, because that then paints a picture.
Kurt,
that paints,
you just got voted out on Survivor and saying like, I declare myself the winner, that I had the best experience out here, and I'm the winner. It doesn't matter what happened.
No, I've been saying this since the poll launched and since before the 10 million ballot thing.
No, it's like, really, I'm the loser.
I'm looking for, you're not a loser. You're going to get a good cast out of this regardless.
No, I'm the loser. I'm the one. I thought I had a website and I had my finger on the pulse of this thing.
Like I said, I'm looking forward to learning what the differences are. But at the same time, I look at a 62% vote for 11th place and a 40% vote for 12th place. And I have a hard time imagining anybody who is in the bottom five in our poll who's actually going to get on the show. Even I would not be at all surprised. Even Keith.
Okay. I want to speak directly to the bitter 12 right now.
Okay.
Or the disappointed dozen, or the OS word 11. Okay.
Yeah. If Mike or Carolyn wins, then technically we have to refer to it as it's the 11, right?
Yes.
Which does not roll off the tongue as nicely.
Yes. The OS 11. So I just look, I hope that nothing that we've done here tonight is has made you upset at all. I hope you come out tomorrow night. I hope you come to the after party. I promise I will buy you a beer. I will give you a hug. And I am a man who can relate to disappointment. And I will be a shoulder to cry on. And if you want to do an exit interview, I will be fine with that also.
And likewise, I hope that I have not said anything to upset anybody.
Right.
I know there was somebody on the voicemail who was conjecturing that, hey, all 32 people might actually go out there. And I tend to agree with you, Rob, in that, like, well, then why waste the time with a poll? But
I don't see that.
It would be great if they got, you know, did they come back as a loved one, or did they come back as like just as part of a challenge participant, just so they get some sort of experience. But hopefully I have not upset anybody. We can. I'm at Kirk Clark on Twitter. But if you are pissed off at me, I am at a Mike Bloom type on Twitter.
Yeah, Kurt, this is so much fun and so great that they did this. But it's going to be the agony and the ecstasy of this, and everybody has to put their lives on hold. So I really hope that we didn't make anybody upset about this. And again, we know nothing. We know nothing. We're like Jon Snow. We know nothing, Kurt. Yeah. We think we know something. We think we have a chart, but. Yeah. At the end of the day, this all could be an exercise and nothing. And we'll know so much more, because if 10 million people voted, then they'll be doing this again a year from now. And we'll only be smarter.
Does Andy Denhart know how difficult he made our lives?
Andy Denhart was the October surprise, that he came in and he threw everything out. Kurt, if it wasn't for that, we would be like, look, the casual people, they have no idea this is going on. That these numbers here, this is gospel, this is fact, this is, we know exactly who is going. And we would sit here and we would say, okay, you know, these bottom five, forget it. You're done. Unpack. You're good. Tell your boss you'll be back at work on Friday. But because of that, it's going to make it such incredible drama tomorrow, because we just have no, we really are just like grasping at straws here.
No one's going to be paying attention to the finale.
Nobody. And that kind of sucks. But whatever. All right, Kurt, first off, I know you're on the East Coast. It's super late. Thank you so much for staying up late and talking about this and setting up this poll. You do such a great job with all the work that you do on the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Follow Kurt Clark on Twitter if you don't already. And Kurt is also podcasting about Big Brother UK at some point also.
Yeah, we did the launch night last week and did our first weekly recap over the weekend. Mark Solera and I, and we're doing a weekly coverage of Big Brother UK each weekend.
Okay, all right, Kurt, do you have a hashtag for people who made it this far? Hashtag We Know Nothing.
Yeah, let's go with that, because it's pretty damn close.
Okay, it's either that or
numbers loophole.
Numbers loophole, or is it
like numbers poop hole?
Poop hole. Oh my God, Kurt. it's either that or what is there anything about the no reception for the dead zone?
It was the 3G survivors.
That's 3G. Survivor 4G LTE. All right.
Yeah.
So Kurt, also, one day left also, not just for voting for Survivor Second Chance, but for the RHAP t-shirt run, which we're doing. I believe is shutting down on Wednesday night. If you want to get your hands on an RHAP t-shirt, I know the Tabulator rocks the RHAP t-shirt from time to time. You can do that at robinswebsite.com/bellshirt.
Yeah, I've ordered a couple of the new ones too, just so I can keep up the latest in fashion.
All right, the latest in fashion. Wow.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. So check that out. Robswebsite.com/bellshirt. Last day to do that. Last day to vote. If we've scared you tonight, please go vote tomorrow. if you're listening to this and you're really scared, it doesn't hurt to get your votes in. Unless you're a casual, then turn your computer off. Go back to the TV. Thanks again, everybody. So much fun here tonight. Thanks again to you, Kurt. And don't forget, Evolution Strategy Volume 2 is going to drop this Friday. So it's going to be a lot of fun talking about the first of 10 seasons in a row in the Volume 2, starting with Guatemala. Josh Wigler and I, we're going to have more details on that. Plus, we're going to do our Survivor Know-It-Alls, our exit interviews. Josh Wigler is going to come by in the studio to answer your voicemails about the finale and the cast of Survivor Second Chance on Thursday. So a million things to do coming up here on Rob's podcast. Thanks again, everybody. Take care.